וזה לך הרעיז כי הנכס והשתיכו, יצא זה חומש, השם says to Moshe, and this will be to you a sign that I am the one who sent you. ויציאך עשו עום ממצרים, when you will take the people out of Egypt, תעבדן עשו לתים, you will become servants of Hashem על האור הזה and this month. So when Moshe Rabbeinu was given the mission to take them out from Mitzrayim, he was told that this will lead up to Matan Torah. Is it clear? Huh? Do you have a chumash? I'll tell you where it is. Well, it came. Huh? You will become servants of Hashem על האור הזה on this mountain. That was the mountain of Asina. So even before he went to Egypt to take them out, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him already, this will lead up to Matan Torah. And it seems that the coming out of Mitzrayim alone was not sufficient, unless it led up to Matan Torah. The coming up from Mitzrayim, the idea was to make them free men, right? Huh? But the Mishnah in Pirik says, right? Ein lecho ben choyren al mi she'osek b'tor. A free man is only the one who is osek in Torah. So somebody say, free man? A free man is a person who is not osek b'tor. He can go to any restaurant, he can do anything. A osek b'tor is a free man? It's a good thing that today they give you a kosher meal. You can order a kosher meal. I still, on the planes. I still remember when you couldn't. So what's the meaning of a free man? But the answer is this, and the answer is a very, very true answer. I always say that much. You know that little kids are not permitted to cross the street in traffic. Huh? Why?
Like it hurt.
He may have. So you take his freedom away. You really take his freedom. He is not free to go inside. Why? Because he is not ripe enough to handle his freedom sensibly. So therefore, if somebody has freedom and he doesn't know how to handle it, it's better he wouldn't have it. Huh? And take a look what's going on in the African countries who are being given freedom. Take a look what's going on in Lebanon. People are given freedom. And they massacre each other. So freedom has only a value if you know how to handle it. Right? And that's what Torah is. Torah tells you how to handle your freedom. Therefore, as a matter of fact, Torah was given to them very fast. It says that they were given Torah already to study 3 days after they crossed the Red Sea. The Gemara says. Rashi says the Chumash. They were given Torah just, and they were studying it, not as if it's an obligation, but they learned, they were studying it. This is how the obligation will work after the Torah will give to us. But I had to study. So, therefore, Matan Torah is not an isolated, event, isolated from Yetzias Mitzrayim. It is, the way to freedom was get rid of the Egyptians and take the Jews to school. Huh? So therefore, and they knew it, and the people were counting, there's a medrash, the people, even before the mitzvah was given to them, they were counting. They asked Moshe Rabbeinu, when they came out from Egypt, how long would it take until we get there? So Moshe Rabbeinu said 50 days. So they started counting. So the Torah said, you should count. But the question is this. The question is, if I am counting because I am expecting an event which I would like. I am not counting from 1 to 49. I'm counting from 49 to 1. I say, I still have 49 days to wait. Next day I say, now I have only 48. Then I say, I have 47. We should count the reverse way. Huh? Pardon? Yeah, whatever there is difference. Yeah, that you are talking about Chanukah. Ah, no, over there is different. Because over there they are not waiting. But if I expect somebody loves his uncle, and the uncle is coming. He's coming from South Africa. So I still have 50 days to wait for my uncle to come. It's only 49. So you count the reverse side. You know what the answer is? The answer is it's not on the long. The answer is that in order to be the Kabbalah, the Torah, a person has to prepare himself. It says that the Torah nimshal lamayim. The Torah is like water. Water needs a container. If you have no container, the water is getting lost. And the container is a basically good character. That's where the container is. And that's why it says, the rechert kodmo latum. A good character precedes to. And so it says that when they came to our Sinai, it says, we are going to read it on Shavuos, Vayichan Shom Yisrael Neged Hor, and Yisrael camped facing the mountain. So Rashi says, it says Vayichan, it does not say Vayachanu, it says Vayichan. Vayachanu means they camped, Vayichan in singular means it camped. So Rashi says, Kulam ki ishechad uleivechad. They were all together like one man with one heart. You know what it means, one man, like one man and one heart? Let's say, Yankov and Chaim going to Kadesh. And they run a business. So if those people are smart, they forget everything they work the business. Like one man. If each one would start pulling the business inside, they know that it will fail. Right? So therefore they work Ke'ishechet. But not Balevechet. Because Yankel is working up the business because he wants to be Yankel a successful business. He doesn't care whether Chaim is going to have a business. But because he works for himself, it works out for the partner too. But his motivation is himself, not the partner, right? Huh? Therefore, they work like one man with two hearts. Because each one has a different motivation. If two people are going in Chavrusa to learn Torah, we forget ourselves. We learn Torah. Then it's ki ishechad b'leivach. We have a common goal too. Not only a common activity, a common goal. So that says that before they came to Har Sinai, they all wanted to have the Torah. So they had the same goal. So this is something which has to be done. So they were given 50 days to prepare themselves, not just to sit at the window and wait until Matan Torah comes, to prepare themselves, to do something about it. Now I said, one day passed by, he says, Baruch Hashem, I have already one day of preparation. And then he says, I accomplished 2 days of preparation. Then it makes sense to start counting on 1 to 49. Huh? So this is Sfira Soeva. And the Torah wants us to go through every year. should be conscious of it. And each and every person should use the same period for the same purpose. You know, the Torah was given on Shavuos. Make yourself worthwhile on Shavuos.
What does Omer mean in English?
Omer means a measure. Right. The Omer, all the way we count, the Omer is something else. The crop, the same as you have the firstborn. Firstborn you have to redeem, you know. Huh? But Bereshit says everything I give you, the first, realize that it's my gift. So therefore, your first child, your first son, you redeem him. When the Beis Hamikdash was there, they had Bikurim. You know what Bikurim was? The first ripening fruit. It was a beautiful procession. In Jerusalem used to be every year on Shavuot time. All the farmers were going with their first fruits, and the Torah said you should decorate it and put it in a beautiful basket. It says in Chumash with some tabaten and put it in a basket. So, when the Mishnah in Bikurim has how beautiful those processions used to be in Jerusalem, and when all farmers came to Jerusalem, and each one has decorated his whatever was the first fruit, I'm going to Jerusalem. I'm going to be something useful. The same, the Torah wants us that the first crop, nationally, we should inaugurate it, the first crop, with bringing a measure of barley in Beis HaMikdash, the second day of Pesach. And this is called the Olam. The way of heck, we are not supposed to eat from the fresh grain before the day of the Omer, even today, in Eretz Yisrael especially. But in Eretz Yisrael, definitely. So, and what does it mean? Any grain which was existing already, even if it was in the ground, what was existing already during the second day of Pesach, you can eat. But if you planted grain the day after Pesach, you have to wait for next year Pesach until it will be eaten. Ah, is it clear? This is called Chodesh. You grain. Usually, the flour which is being sold is old flour. So we don't have so much silence. But some people are very particular and they check on it. This is the Omer. The Omer was the opening of new crop for use. But the Omer was brought on the second day of Pesach. The Torah wants us the first day of Pesach to concentrate on Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's why they had the Seder. Concentrate on Yetzias Mitzrayim. Right after concentrating on Yetzias Mitzrayim, you should concentrate your anticipation of giving the Torah. Therefore, the first day of Pesach we don't count, but the second day we count already. Is that clear what I say? And so it happens to remember the second day, it's the day when the Omer is born. So we start counting the same day as the Omer. And then there is something else. A person, there is a justification of life. Is there any purpose in me living? Does the universe benefit from my existence? If it does, in exchange I can take food. The universe needs me, let the universe support me. If I contribute nothing to the universe, I'm a parasite. Now the contribution of a Jewish man is better. So therefore, the Omer is tied up with the expectation of Torah. Because the Omer introduces the bread for the year, and it's tied up with the preparation for Torah. Right? We don't know exactly what happened. But it says that Rabbi Akiva, at one time he ended up with a school of 24,000 students. And they all died. And they died within 33 days, during the period of, whether it was an epidemic, whether they fell in a battle, because it's very possible that Rabbi Akiva's whole family were in the army of Bar Kokhba, in the Bar Kokhba revolt, and it's possible that this is when they were all killed in battles. Or it was an epidemic, we don't know. It's not clear. It will be much more logical to say that they all fall in battle when they battle for battles. But in any case, this was such a tragedy at that time that in sympathy with that generation, with their tragedy, we still keep fighting. Are you understanding? Tell me something. I don't know, we had, do you have here in the library the Miracle of Shanghai? This is, we don't realize that as great as it was, the tragedy of during the Second World War, that so many Jews were killed, tortured. It's impossible to grasp it in our minds, this. But a national tragedy would be if all the yeshiva bochim would have been killed at that time. And in some miraculous way, a group of yeshiva bochim ended up in Shanghai, and under the worst conditions, they survived over there. And they are the ones who have been the nucleus for all the Torah today, what the Shanghai.
For all the Torah, they were the nucleus?
They were the nucleus. Now the Miral Yeshiva had Arav Shmulevitz was Shanghai, Rav Nochum Porchevitz was Shanghai, Miral Yeshiva in Brooklyn, there was Yeshiva in Shanghai. The Mr. Talmud in Shanghai. There have been one more corner, I'll tell you. In 1941, you know what happened with the yeshivas at that time?
Maybe wanted them to enlist in the army?
No. The problem of the Nazis. And as the Nazis were occupying Poland. I mean, Poland was the greatest concentration of the yeshivas. There was a rumor that Vilna will remain without it was the Stalin-Hitler pact, if you heard of it. So that Vilna would remain not in German hands. So all yeshivas went to Vilna. And Vilna suddenly became all yeshivas. Was Grodman, Baranovich, and Mir, and Kletsk, all the Jews, and Lomje, everybody was in Vilna at that time. I was in the United States, and I was representing the Yeshiva Baranovich. So at that time, I suggested to the other people, other Yeshivas, he says it's such an emergency that we have to put all together one activity and support all yeshivas. Let's forget each one his yeshiva. Support all of them. So this is we organized what you call the Vaidat Sala. We organized it with that. And we were sending support to Vilna. As a matter of fact, we sent one man And Dr. Smith from Cincinnati was sent and was going over there. And that's and the yeshivas were surviving over there. The corner was also in the Slabatka yeshiva. One day in 1941, we were called for a meeting in New York. A disaster happened. The Russians, who don't like yeshiva bochum, are rounding up all yeshiva bochum in the Vilna area. Then they were already spreading in little communities. They're rounding them up and putting them in freight wagons and shipping them to Siberia. Like counter-revolutionaries. And I remember it was, well, Thursday was the meeting, was Thursday, and Friday and Shabbos, we were so depressed, all of us were depressed, what's going to happen? Sunday, the news came out that Hitler is attacking Russia. And those people who were shipped to Siberia were saved from the Nazis. So there was a patch, if I should remember, that is a beautiful story, wasn't it? Are you getting here the Jewish Observer? Mm-hmm. Take the Jewish Observer of Pesach. And over there you'll find the story about the Shabbos in Siberia. How that happened with Kamenets, there were Kamenets 83 blocks from, I think. It's very interesting to keep up, read that book. And this way, because of the Russians sending the yeshiva from Siberia, most of them survived. Some of them couldn't survive the conditions in Siberia. It was hard labor. And in Siberia, in the cold, some of them died. But a great number of them survived. Those have been the two miracles of the Plan Torah during the greatest disaster that happened to the Jewish people. Hashem said to him that the Plan Torah, that a group of Plan Torah at least survived. Now, that many realize how important that miracle was. You have to be a mentira to realize how much this means for the future of the Jewish people. But in the time of Rabbi Akiva, the Rabbi and Chachamim realized, and if Rabbi Akiva's Talmidim, 24,000 are all being killed within a month's time, no Shaggai move. It was a tragedy. And people were mourning. And it was such a national tragedy that until today, in sympathy, that generation, we don't trim our beard, we don't take a haircut, we avoid making weddings. During that period, engagements, yes. So, an engagement, don't postpone for tomorrow. But a wedding, you can time away. So, and this is the reason for it. And then, there is something that says that Rabbi Akiva, the entire school of Rabbi Akiva was massacred, not Torah. Then Rabbi Akiva found five people, and he was teaching those five people. And those five people have re-established the Torah. Which is also showing that Torah is so strong, smallest nucleus. How big is a seed for a plant? There is so much power in a seed that produces your plant. So, 5 Talmidim instead of 24,000. You know the period. Huh? I think it was Rav Shimon Ben Yochai, Rav Yudeh, Rav Meir, another two other things.
Why would that actually allow that? Someone doesn't
telegraph
at night, and I telegraph
at night. I'll tell you. What's a day? How long is a day? A calendar day is 24 hours. A working day is sunlight. So therefore, the day and the night together are two parts of the calendar day. Is that clear what I say? Huh? The calendar day has two parts. It has nights and day. As a matter of fact, if we would say the part for rest and the part for work. Is it clear? Now it says in the Torah that when you count the Omer, it should be tmimus. It should be complete. A complete calendar day takes in the part of the night and the part of the day. If you miss the nights, you have a calendar day, but not a perfect part, because one part is missing. Are you following? So the Halachot Gedolot said that you make a bracha only when your counting is perfect, when you cover both parts of your calendar. Then he said that all 49 are depending on each other. If you missed one, you cannot count anymore. Or at least if you can count it, you can make a bracha. So he says, if you missed a full calendar day, you broke your count. If you saved a part of your calendar day, you did not break your count. So therefore, if you forgot at night, the next day, for that particular day, you broke already away a half. Therefore, it's not mimos, it's not complete. You say without a broch. Once you said without a bracha during daytime, you have not killed the continuation of 449, so next day you can say without a bracha. If you count the daytime without a bracha, the next day you can count with a bracha. But if you miss the day, too bad, you can't make a bracha. Is that clear? Pardon? Yeah. It is, remember that Lenin said. It's me, yes, they are talking about me.
Yes, but then say why, if you miss the night, you can't make a brother in bed. The answer is.
Yeah, no, because it's missing, it's me, yes, of that day.
Huh? In our Gemara, Baba Kama, we're learning Mishnah. Someone stated as saying that he saw a spirit, because in Isaiah it says something about spirits guarding gates, which relates to the mission of
Brother Kamen.
Yeah.
Oh, Shia Yochishah, right.
And there's, and then one of the rabbis says, I saw one of those spirits, and it roars like a bull. So my friend's question is. You know, what do you, how do you feel about spirits? What do you believe about them?
Yeah, I'll tell you. The first thing, that's a spiritual question. Yeah, yeah. The first thing is that things which I don't know, I don't know. I mean, but if it comes to me from a reliable source, I believe. There is no reason why I should say there is not possible to be spirit. Why not? And what are we? Our body is not we. It's the life in this. And that life is also a spiritual thing. It's a non-tangible. So the same as I can be a spiritual thing, but I am dressed in a body. Then maybe another spiritual thing was not dressed in a body. The only thing I say, I never saw it. Therefore, I don't know. I understand.
Yeah.
But in Gemara, when it says, we have to know what the Gemara means. Because many, especially the Rambam and also Major Chaim Zatu, warn that there are many things in Gemara which are written under a code and not to take them literally. So I don't know. But in Chumash it seems that there are such things actually. But the fact that I haven't seen them doesn't mean anything. I have nothing, I have no proof against, you understand? The only thing is that people have a tendency to accept things to which they are accustomed, and not to accept things to which they are not accustomed. But there's nothing to do with logic. I mean, you follow that, sir?
I have another question.
I have another question.
Is the percentage of Ashkenazim that were killed in the Holocaust, is that equal to the percentage of Sephardim that were killed?
Much more. Much more than that.
What can we learn from that?
I don't know, but it happened in those countries.
But you can't say that it was a coincidence that they weren't in those countries. Can we say
yeah,
that there's something about Ashkenazic that will lead that way, and that they are being punished, and Sephardim, there's something in them that won't lead that way? Should I want to be Sephardic?
I wouldn't. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
It doesn't pay. Of course, now, after Ashkenazim paid already, and the Sephardim didn't pay, and you are getting yourself into trouble. Because you don't know, maybe they also have to pay. We can't make come to any conclusions.
Can you say that?
The only conclusions that we can make are in that little booklet from my father's family. You know they have it here? The book of the Messiah?
Mm-hmm. Huh? Yeah.
Those are the only conclusions that we can.
What about the idea that most Israelis are turning secular now, and they're mostly Sephardic, and most of the Ashkenazim some of the Ashkenazim are coming back to their religion?
This is man-made. This is man-made. There is a campaign going on, and still going on today, to injure as many people as possible. And the Sephardim were the easiest victims for him. And I'm very much afraid it's being done to the Ethiopians now, for that number of them. This is a campaign.
But it doesn't change the facts.
It changes the facts.
Oh, I
know. Yeah, they are Ashkenazim.
But Rabbi Wasserman, it seems pretty clear from Jewish history
that
Jews in Europe suffered much more from persecution from Christians than the Jews in Arab countries. And Christianity has always directed much more sina towards Jews than the Muslim
experience. It's very hard to know. You know, the Quran may be worse than the New Testament.
In cruelty.
Yep. And the Arabs are much more cruel. But it seems that there have not been great concentrations, Jewish concentrations in Arab countries. But also in Arab countries there are plenty of troubles. Plenty. You know, in the morning, we say, Le'olam Yerodim, are you saying it? The Shema, which we say before davening. Mm-hmm. Huh? Mm-hmm. You know why this was? Huh?
the Shema as a community. Because back then, they, wasn't it, they used to come into
that's the show on the yeah, yeah, that was an Arab. This was an Arab country. Now, coming in Babylon, when anyone was still in Babylon. That at one time was a very cruel Arab leaders, Arab government, and they forbade to say Shema Yisrael. So in Shul they couldn't say Shema Yisrael. And each one at home before davening used to say that, that's your Shema Yisrael. That was an Arab thing.
So Wasserman is saying it's proportionate, that if there were high concentration of the Yidden
yeah.
in Arab countries, they would have the same soil.
Maybe, I don't know. The Rambam had to flee from an Arab. You know, the Rambam had to flee Spain. You know about this? It was an Arab persecution.
Oh, at the time of the Rambam?
At the time of the Rambam. And the Rambam had to flee as a very young boy. You know the Pirush HaMishnayos? Huh? He wrote the Pirush HaMishnayos on boats, on high seas, and he writes that he started at the age of 23 and he finished at the age of 21, and he apologizes because he didn't have any sperm, everything went out. And he was fleeing for Arab persecution.
Became a big court doctor in Egypt.
Yeah. That was later.
Brother Wasserman?
Yes.
I was speaking with an Israeli friend of mine at the yeshiva, and we were talking about nationalism, more Zionism in Israel in particular, but in general nationalism. And I was wondering whether you would, I was claiming that nationalism, I felt, is a form of Avodah Zarah. I think I read this somewhere also recently, and he was very angry at me for saying that. I think I read somewhere that nationalism is like the last, one of the last forms of Avodah Zarah before the Mashiach comes or mankind reaches their goal of development. But
now you want me to say it and he'll be angry.